Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Health Secretary Xavier Becerra tested positive yesterday for the coronavirus. Wow, the health secretary, that's embarrassing. That's like finding out the transportation secretary got hit by a train. He's fine. He's fine.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with comedian Ricky Gervais. But first, a closer look.
House Republicans voted in large numbers against a bill that would provide emergency funding to address the nationwide shortage of baby formula, while a smaller number of Republicans voted against a second bill that would make it easier for poor families to buy formula. Instead, Republicans would much rather exploit the crisis to rail against immigration. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. In case you have any doubt at all that reality is, in fact, a simulation and we're all just test subjects in some giant computer game being jerked around for the entertainment of our celestial overlords, here's an extremely and shockingly real clip of former President George W. Bush giving a speech yesterday where he discussed Russia's invasion of Ukraine and accidentally confessed to being a war criminal.
Russian elections are rigged. Political opponents are imprisoned or otherwise eliminated from participating in the electoral process. The result is an absence of checks and balances in Russia and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine. Iraq, too. Anyway. 75.
You know, when I started this show, I poured exactly one shot of whiskey and left it in the drawer of my desk for an emergency. And throughout the entirety of the Trump presidency, I resisted using it. But you know what? I really am certain that clip was designed in a lab to melt the brains of anyone who was alive in 2003. Back then, if you had called the invasion of Iraq brutal and unjustified, the Bush administration and Fox News would have spent an entire week calling you a traitor, and anytime you went to the airport, the TSA would have given you the full cavity search. Well, 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 Mr. Myers, if it isn't 3.5 ounces of toothpaste. Squat and cough, joke boy. Remember, this was a time in our history that was so hysterical and intolerant of dissent that people started calling French fries freedom fries because France opposed the war, which was both petty and pointless, especially because we only did it for French fries. We didn't change French kissing or French doors or Mr. French, and we didn't all pretend that Larry Bird was from Freedom Lick, Indiana. You know what people don't remember is that to retaliate, French people started calling American cheese disgusting 100 years ago. There is a direct line from Bush to the modern GOP. The Trump Republican Party is the natural evolution of the Bush Republican Party, which was lawless and authoritarian and used culture war hysteria to stir up resentments and scare voters the same way the modern Republican Party does now. They've just switched to different topics. Back then, Bush wanted to amend the Constitution to ban gay marriage. Now Republicans want to take baby formula away from migrant children in government custody.
Our border children, the illegal immigrant children, are getting formula.
American families, there's a shortage, but if you're a migrant, don't worry because Uncle Sam has a stash of that.
These are not people that respected our borders, our laws, and our sovereignty. Why wouldn't all the pallets go to American families first?
Apparently, there's no shortage of baby formula for illegal aliens. Why are we feeding illegal babies ahead of American babies?
Illegal babies? Are you out of your mind? You know what? I think I'm finally gonna drink that whiskey shot. Oh, right. I already had it today. I made it almost 1,300 shows, and then I need it twice in one look. Look, as a rule, if you ever find yourself uttering the words, why are we feeding illegal babies, or even just the words illegal babies, that's when you need to go in for a CAT scan to see if the doctors can find your soul. No, we're looking, and it's just a giant blank void where the soul should be. Also, again, think about how insane and immoral the phrase illegal babies is. Babies can't be illegal. They can't commit crimes. You've never seen a gang of babies on motorcycles holding up liquor stores. And even if you did, it'd be cute as f-. I mean, my God, these are babies, by the way, in the government's custody. It would be, to put it mildly, a moral abomination and crime against humanity not to feed them. And on top of being ghoulish and horrific, it wouldn't even solve anything.
First of all, how many babies are there at the border? A few hundred? Maybe 1,000? Government doesn't release the exact number. It's somewhere in that ballpark. In the United States, there are about 3.7 million babies, okay? So clearly, the border babies hogging all that formula is not the problem here.
This assumes, of course, that the doofuses over at Fox News are capable of doing math. Have you ever really looked in Brian Kilmeade's eyes? There is nothing there. Sometimes I think he might just be a nanny cam they set up to see if Steve Doocy is stealing other people's lunch from the staff fridge. Now, you've no doubt heard about the nationwide baby formula shortage, which is a very real and horrifying crisis affecting millions of families that needs immediate action. There are several contributing factors, including a recall in February by one of the nation's largest manufacturers, which shuttered a plant in Michigan, and supply chain disruptions stemming from the COVID pandemic. It's also been difficult to supplement supply with formula imported from Canada, thanks in part to onerous trade restrictions imposed by the Trump administration.
Trade experts say the renegotiated NAFTA deal under the Trump administration made it nearly impossible for Canada to export formula to the U.S.
During the Trump administration, when they renegotiated NAFTA and they made the USMCA, guess what they did? Made it harder for Canada, made it more expensive for Canada to import baby formula here.
I mean, of course, Trump is somehow involved in this. Finding his fingerprints on a screw-up these days is like finding Waldo in a book called Only Waldo's.
Hey, that reminds me, Seth.
What reminds you of what, Wally?
I have a new kids book coming out called Where's Wally? It's pictures of me in the studio, and kids try to find me.
Yeah, but aren't you always in the same place holding cards behind the camera?
Thanks for ruining my book, Seth.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. Apologies, everyone. The new restrictions on formula imports from Canada were implemented as part of a renegotiated trade deal called the USMCA. Trump even branded it. It came up with a very dumb way of getting people to remember the name.
USMCA, right? Like YMCA, right? Remember, if you have a problem remembering it, just think of the song YMCA. We love that song. USMCA.
Just think of the YMCA, and of course, the village people think of the cop, the cowboy, and of course, the leather daddy. Leather comes from cows. Cows produce milk, and dairy imports are regulated by the USMCA. It rolls off the tongue. It's very natural when you do it.
So there are lots of reasons for the formula shortage, and those problems have been magnified by the fact that the formula market is largely controlled by a small handful of corporate monopolies. Four companies control about 89% of the U.S. market. Any disruption in one of their products will be magnified, whether it's a recall for Similac or inability to source ingredients. A few companies in the market relying on the same source creates a much more fragile supply chain. Yeah, because you can't have a small group of companies all depending on the same sources for the same ingredients. Otherwise, crises like these will be inevitable. It's like if the only place you could go to get yourself clean, have a good meal, and do whatever you feel was the...
YMCA.
It does make it easier to remember. So, now obviously it is on the Biden administration and Congress to fix the crisis immediately. Biden announced that he's invoking the Defense Production Act to produce more formula. The FDA reached a deal to open the shuttered plant, and the House passed an emergency funding bill to address the crises. And yet, you'll never guess who voted against the emergency funding bill. Wait, sorry, of course you can guess. Almost every Republican.
We'll start with a bill that would send $28 million to the Food and Drug Administration to help boost formula supply and prevent future shortages. Only 12 Republicans voted for that measure. House Democrats say the emergency funding would be used to increase the number of FDA inspection staff, help the agency stop fraudulent baby formula from entering the U.S. marketplace, and improve data collection on the formula market.
Only 12 Republicans voted for a bill to address the nationwide formula shortage. You know, I'm starting to suspect that maybe their criticisms aren't exactly genuine. I mean, when I saw that 192 Republicans voted against an emergency funding bill for the FDA, my first question was...
Why?
Seriously. How can you be against a bill like that? It's like being the one guy in the office who's against free pizza for lunch. I'm sorry, what am I supposed to do with the catfish? I just warmed up in the microwave. So the House passed two bills. One was an emergency funding bill to address the shortage, and almost every Republican voted against it. Another bill would make it easier for low-income families to buy formula, and that bill got much more bipartisan support.
The House also passed another bill called the Access to Baby Formula Act. That final vote came down 414-9, and the bill would allow more formula to be purchased with money from a federal program that aids low-income women, infants, and children.
Supporting a bill like that would seem like a no-brainer, and yet somehow there were still 9 Republicans who voted against it. Andy Biggs of Arizona, Lauren Boebert of Colorado, Thomas Massie of Kentucky, Clay Higgins of Louisiana, Matt Gaetz of Florida, Chip Roy of Texas, Paul Gosar of Arizona, Louis Gohmert of Texas, and Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia. Hearing that list of names is like hearing the roll call at a Legion of Doom meeting. I mean, who else voted against this bill? Skeletor? I'm just kidding. Skeletor's not in Congress. He's the president's lawyer. You guys. Also, I gotta say, at least with Skeletor, you know what you're getting. Dude's a giant maniacal skeleton in a hoodie. He's upfront about being evil. He-Man's under no illusions about who he's dealing with. He-Man never started an episode saying, hey, maybe we should hear Skeletor out. The nationwide formula shortage is an urgent crisis that requires immediate action, and yet for all their bluster, Republicans have once again made it clear they have no interest in actually governing or helping solve the problem. If you're feeling down, they just want you to pick yourself off the ground because you're in a new town and head to the...
USMCA.
This has been A Closer Look.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Our guest tonight is an Emmy Award-winning comedian and actor you know from shows such as The Office, Extras, and Afterlife. His latest comedy special, Supernature, begins streaming on Netflix May 24th. Please welcome back to the show our good friend Ricky Gervais. Welcome back, Ricky.
Oh,
It's always lovely to have you here in person, though you did seem to enjoy, we spoke a few times via Zoom, and I always thought it was such a coincidence that you found your way right in front of all your awards.
They're not all of them. Well, I didn't set them up.
I don't know. These Emmys look very set up. I mean, they're very complimentary.
That's not even all the BAFTAs. There's three more there.
So seven back. Did you ever win a Golden Globe? I mean, obviously you hosted it to great regard.
I won two. They're over this side of the room now.
So you can see him. When you zoom with me, you can see the Globes. So we talked a little backstage about how, you know, the pandemic in a way allowed us to be a little lazier with ourselves. Did you take to the laziness?
Yeah, it suited me.
Yeah.
Just being at home. No one coming to the house. I didn't even have to lie to get out of stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like christenings and funerals and weddings. They were all cancelled.
Yeah.
So it was like, I was going, oh, I was gutted. I was looking forward to that, you know. But it has ruined me. Now I don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
I don't want to do anything ever again.
But that's why I'm so impressed that you, not only you have this special, you're out on the road again, but Supernature, why did you name it this?
Title comes from two reasons, really. One, I sort of debunk the supernatural. I don't believe in anything supernatural, so I go through that. And also, I say that nature is super enough, you know.
Yeah.
That we don't need... I don't need, you know, unicorns and fairies and that. And I say we've got the octopus, you know, things like that. And the duck-billed platypus, it's a monotreme, right? When people first discovered the duck-billed platypus, they thought it was a hoax, right? They did, and that's true. And it produces eggs and milk. It could make its own custard.
Yeah.
It doesn't, but it could.
It could.
So I go into why I love nature and why I hate people. That's the main theme.
You've always been not just an atheist, but sort of proudly an atheist. That clip is a wonderful example of that. And as the clip sort of details, people continue to come at you for this and think that you're on the wrong side of this position.
Well, I mean, Twitter is... there's a billion people on Twitter and, you know... It's like looking at every toilet wall in the world at once, isn't it? You mustn't take it serious. So with all those people on there, you know, someone's going to say something stupid. I mean, I look for them. I mean, that's the good thing about Twitter, I guess. Like 20 years ago, an observational comic would actually have to go to, like, homes and prisons to meet people that talk to you on Twitter. So I can do it from the safety of my Hampstead mansion. I can speak to the worst people in the world and formulate comedy.
So, so your observational comedy comes from a place of great comfort for you. You've managed to observe through your phone.
Yeah, exactly. I can talk to the maddest people on the earth.
You talk about health. We were talking backstage. For all intents and purposes, you feel like people our age are living on borrowed time.
I think we're not meant to live this long.
Yeah.
I'm 60. It's not natural. It's like when we were hunter-gatherers, we make it to about, I don't know, 25 if we were lucky. Then we'd get a scratch, dead. You know what I mean? But now we're just kept alive. They replace everything. You know, they can... they can't do the head transplant yet.
Yeah.
Would you? I would, yeah.
You
because
would.
I only care about that. I don't really care about this rubbish.
Okay.
This just gets me around to do stuff.
Gotcha.
So one day, someone will be... Someone will have their, like, head crushed, but their body will be all right. I'll have my body crushed or it just fall apart. They'll keep me alive in a jar or something. And then I'll have paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right? I've got a bit of cash now. I'll go, I'll have that body. And then I'll put my head on a new body. Statistically, I will get a bigger penis. So... it won't be mine.
Yeah. How long do you think, be honest, how long do you think it would take?
Sorry.
Let me tell you that. That's wishful thinking. I don't know who you think's getting crushed by a bus. But how long do you think it would take to get used to a different penis?
I wouldn't be comfortable.
Yeah.
Although it wouldn't be my hand either.
That's a good point. That would be the trickier part.
So
yeah.
I just close my eyes. I just get all the feelings.
So I think we've worked through that. I think if that's the last hurdle for science, I hope they watch this. You explain, you go out of your way to explain irony in your special. I mean, I feel like the British are very proud about the fact that they, I feel like, have the best sense of irony. Did you feel a need to explain irony for Americans specifically comedy?
No. And I sort of do it as a joke. That is the joke that I'm explaining, and I still get it wrong. So I come out and I say something awful, And then I say, that was irony. There's going to be a bit of that throughout the show. See if you can spot it. That's when I say something I don't really mean for comic effect. And you as an audience, you laugh at the wrong thing because you know what the right thing is. So I sort of do it as a joke to challenge them. And then I carry on saying terrible things and hopefully they get it.
And it does seem fun because in a weird way, like, not a weird way, I'm very on purpose, but you've then involved them in what the game is going to be.
And I've challenged them.
Yeah, and you keep catching them off guard with it.
Exactly, and I've challenged them to be offended, and yeah. I told them it's a joke. And I think that's the big thing now, that people are, you know, it's always been the same. People have always been offended by comedians or things they say, but we didn't used to hear about it. You know, we didn't used to have Twitter. Mm-hmm. To write a complaint 20 years ago, you'd go, "Dear BBC, I can't be bothered." You know. Yeah. But now someone tweets something, and right. The papers pick that up and go, "Look, so people are furious. ZX143 said this," and it becomes a thing, and it isn't. You should ignore it. You should just ignore it.
I think that is very good advice, because I do think, especially when there's craft to the joke. Like, for example. Yeah. Look, because you do in the beginning of the special, you set up like, here's the game to some degree, and each time there's never any laziness to the joke, because the joke is always, there's a construction.
And I explained that you know, a joke isn't a window to the comedian's true soul. You know, it's a joke. I'll pretend to take a view. I'll pretend to be right wing. I'll pretend to be left wing. I'll pretend to be clever. I'll pretend to be stupid. Whatever makes the joke. You know, it's all about the joke. And I think people often get offended when they mistake the subject of a joke with the actual target. And if you look at it, you know, often the target's me. It's my stupidity or me getting something wrong. I think that's where it comes from. Because, and I deal in taboo subjects on purpose, because I want to take the audience to a place that hasn't been before. But I also think they're good to crunch. They're good. There is a tension, and it's always OK in the end. And I think that's what... They're only taboo because people want them to be taboo. People said, oh, that's controversial, because they want you to shut up. Yeah. That's why they say, you know, they want you to shut up. So don't shut up.
Your next special is called Armageddon.
Yes.
And now that seems very in line with the way you think.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you setting out to do here?
Again, it's me pondering how the humanity will be wiped out, and I can't wait.
Yeah. Do you think you'll be here to see it?
I'll see some of it. I'll see the beginning of it.
Yeah.
You know, but I think young people now will have a very different middle age to me. And it's my fault, my generation and the generation before, the boomers with the fossil fuels and the global warming. So someone who's 20 now, in 40 years' time, they'll be in their apartments with masks on, crying.
Yeah.
Like they do now over jokes.
Now, I will say this. I'm very happy to hear, because we were talking about health, and you are, because you're not giving up. You're out. You're walking. You're very, you try to be ambulatory a good amount of the time.
This is how you talk about someone in a chair home.
Give a round. Look, Ricky went for a walk.
Yeah.
Give
him Listen, I don't care. I'll as I say, as long as I can sort of still talk and drink, I don't care if I end up in a bucket.
Yeah.
I've just been pushed around in a bucket of my own urine and feces by a nurse with a drip, and that.
They say we have bad news? We don't.
You're going to live a bit longer.
We don't have a body for you. We have a lovely bucket.
I'll be fine.
Just your head in a bucket.
And then when it gets too much, I'll just take the pill. Hopefully that's what I'm looking forward to. I'll just go into CVS and go, "Give me the pill." And they go, "Are you sure?" I go, "Of course I'm sure. Look at me."
They go, here's one, and here's one for free. Hey, thanks for being here. Congrats again on this special. Ricky Gervais, Supernature, begins streaming on Netflix May 24th.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night Podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.